Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Brenna O'Malley with the Bethesda Film Fest.
And
I am R. Kayeen Thomas, writer and director of the short documentary Two Steps Back.
Awesome, which is one of five short documentaries, all local filmmakers, I believe,
yes.
In this festival from April 6th to 7th. Three blocks here, and you get to see all five movies as part of that same block, right?
Yes, that's okay. Right. So we have a screening on Friday night at 7 p.m., and then on Saturday at 6 and 8:30 p.m., and it's all same five short docs at each screening. And each screening is also followed by a Q&A with the filmmakers.
Awesome. And this is where are we at?
Imagination Stage in downtown Bethesda. They have a great black box theater that they let us rent, so that's where we'll be.
Awesome. I want to go into the movies, and especially yours, since you're in here. But before we get to this year's slate, give me a sense of how much this has grown over. It's the sixth year, right? So take me into, like, if I don't know if you have attendance numbers off the top of your head, but, you know, like, humble beginnings. And
yes.
Where we've gone now.
Yes, yes. So we started in 2013 with one night, one screening, and sold it out. So the next year moved to two nights, two screenings, and now we're up to two nights and three screenings. So we really have seen it grow over the years, which we're really excited about.
And how do you actually curate, how do you choose the films? How many submissions do you get? How do you whittle that down?
Sure. So we got about 60 submissions this year, and they're all local filmmakers. So in order to apply, you have to be from D.C., Maryland, or Virginia. Short documentaries, so under 30 minutes, and they apply to the film festival, and then we have three filmmaker or documentary filmmaking judges that come in, and they do a little bit of pre-screening, and then they really do whittle it down to the five we're going to show that night.
Who are the judges? How do they get that esteemed task?
So we just invite them. They're usually very excited to come in and work and support local artists. And so this year it was Larry Engel from American University.
Love him. I know him well.
And it was
What's
also
up, Larry.
It was Ben Steger from George Mason University and Catherine Wilkins de Francis. She is a local documentary filmmaker and also on the board for Women in Film and Video.
Awesome. I want to go into all five movies, but let's start with yours, sir. I actually saw it's Two Steps Back, 12-minute documentary short. I didn't put it together until this morning when I was looking over the slate that you were coming in. But I saw this at the D.C. Black Film Festival,
yes.
Which was Kevin Sampson just started it. What was it, last fall, I believe?
Yep, last year.
Great job, man.
Thank you.
I'll let you say what it is so I have a soundbite. But it was fascinating to me, the whole concept of you know, Brown versus Board of Education. You know, we know, like, you know, it's heart is in the right place trying to do things, but you kind of looked at it from almost an alternate
different
prism.
Standpoint.
So, explain what it's about.
So Two Steps Back is a short documentary that follows the teachings of Derrick Bell, who has since passed, but he was outside of being a major civil rights activist, he was the first black tenured law professor at Harvard University. And in his later years, he began to publicly speak about the fact that he believed that Brown versus Board of Education, and by extension, the civil rights movement, was in effect a failure. And he began to speak about believing it was a failure because we focused too much on the separate and not enough on the equal, meaning that we were too eager to integrate and didn't concentrate enough on making sure there was equality within the integration. And I feel like the message resonates with a lot of people who sort of expected, especially in that time, who expected for the civil rights movement, to be the end-all, be-all. And I'm now sort of looking back now, like, what happened? Like, why didn't this fix? Why didn't this fix everything? And it sort of poses an answer for that.
What would have been an alternate? It's been a few months since I've seen it, but what if we could have had an ideal alternate take on the civil rights? You know, what would have been the better alternative according to Dr. Bell?
Well, I mean, I'm not Derrick, but I've read his stuff. I don't want to put any words mouth, but I feel like one, equality was paid closer attention to, and two, there was closer attention paid to the economic structures that already existed within the African-American community by necessity, right? So you had segregation that was law at that point. So at that time, you know, black and white people couldn't eat at the same restaurants. We couldn't use black banks. We couldn't, you know, we couldn't use white banks. We couldn't go to white stores. So by necessity, we established these institutions on our own, black-owned banks, black-owned stores, things like that. And there became, you know, an economic community that became built around these things. Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, before it was destroyed, unfortunately, is an example of that. You know, a community that really became economically viable within the black community based based upon all black-owned businesses and structures. So if there could have been more recognition of that, you know, and more sort of a, okay, we're going to integrate, but we're also going to put these sorts of programs in place to make sure that these black-owned businesses and black-owned institutions, HBCUs as well, were hit very hard during the integration period. Mm-hmm. But just programs in place where we could have focused more on that. I think that might have caused a better sort of result.
Awesome. And who all do you interview in the film? Who are some of the subjects?
I interview three people. I interview Dr. Teresa Runstetler, who is a professor at American University. I interview Mr. Jeffrey Lee, who runs the radio station at Howard University. And I interview Professor O'Keener Dark, who is a tenured law professor at Howard Law School.
Awesome.
Professor Dark, incidentally, had personal interaction with Derek Bell, and she tells a really fascinating story about that in the documentary.
When did you become aware of Derek Bell?
I actually heard Derek Bell speak when I was an undergrad. This was, of course, before he passed away. And that was when I was first introduced to this idea that, like, maybe the civil rights movement wasn't everything it's cracked up to be. And it was, like, fascinating to me because I was at a predominantly white college and was feeling a lot of that backlash of, like, you know, I don't really feel as accepted as, maybe I would like to feel, right? And why is that? And you know, of course, myself and the other black students, weren't a whole lot of us, but those of us who did, you know, talked about it, I got really deep into these sorts of thoughts and discussions. So, you know, when he came and spoke on it, it was like, wow, this is really fascinating idea.
And give me a sense a little more of your filmmaking journey. Like, how did you get started?
Well, I did not start as a filmmaker. I started as a writer. I have two novels and a book of short stories that have all been published by Simon & Schuster.
Nice.
One of the novels, Antebellum, actually, it won the Phyllis Wheatley Book Award and was nominated for the NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Debut Author. I went from there to, you know, doing a lot of book tours and things like that, but also sort of really slowly realizing that the people that I wrote the book for, Antebellum in short is about a rapper who gets taken back into slavery times. Clearly I wrote the book for the hip hop generation to sort of give a context to history. Yet I was doing these book tours and book signings, and it was all like grandmothers who were coming out like, oh, this book is great. Man. I'm going to, you know, buy this to give it to my grand. So, you know, at some point I had to realize that like the people who I wrote the book for aren't reading it.
Right.
So it's like, okay, so how do I bridge that gap? And it's just realizing that, you know, if you can't access it on a cell phone, you know, the younger generation today probably won't see it, right? So now how do I start to turn these things into media? So I begin with plays, doing plays and things like that, and then, you know, realize I really liked screenwriting. And then from there decided to just jump head first in and go to film school and ended up at American University's Film and Electronic Media program.
Nice. Is that the MFA?
That is the MFA program.
Nice. Awesome.
Come out in May. Yes.
All right. Well, we can come back to more of you in a second, but let's hear about the other movies too. So there's four others. They're all short docs.
Yes, all short docs. So Avian is about a local artist. He he's hilarious. He talks about his outlook on life and death and just how you should be living your life. So that's a great feel-good film. And Enrique, I believe this is his first film, shot this film about this local artist here in Maryland, and he talks about life and death and his views on all of that. And he's quite the character. I think people are really going to like him.
This is in Landover.
Yes.
Okay.
And then Mama Rwanda is by Laura Waters Hinson. And she's done a lot of work in Rwanda with this community. And this film in particular is about the women and the mothers who are rebuilding the economy and the community after the genocide, because they are really the ones who are going to make the changes. We talked about Two Steps Back. Pot of Gold is by Daye Onoguchi, and his film is one of our lighthearted films this year. It's about the Todo Bidet. He goes on an exploration to Japan to find out more about why this is such a sensation over there. And then the final film is a film called Sisterly by Nina Velato out of Silver Spring. This was her senior year thesis film about her and her sister. Her sister is autistic and nonverbal, and so how they have been able to communicate with each other throughout her life.
Awesome. What do you look for when you're trying to narrow it down?
So I don't look for a whole lot.
What do these five have that stood out, especially, you know, make the guy next to you, you know, blush a little? Like, what made them stand out?
So we rely on the judges. That's why we bring in professional judges to come in and make sure that we are picking the best documentaries that are out there. And they look for just really well-made, not just films, but stories. They are after a really good, unique story that they haven't heard before.
Awesome. And there's a million film festivals in town and around the region, but how would you want this? Like, what's sort of the overall vision that you want Bethesda Film Fest to be? Like, what's its little niche, I guess?
So our niche is the short documentary. There are a lot of really well-known festivals in town and in the region even. And so when our board of the Bethesda Arts and Entertainment District decided that we wanted to go into film, they felt that short documentary was an area that we needed to focus on. We'd done a lot in the visual arts with the Trawick Prize and the songwriting event that we just started, but this is really our first endeavor into film, and documentary just spans so many different topics, and you can have so many great conversations that short documentary is where they wanted to go.
Awesome. And are they mostly all, like, you know, socially conscious docs, or some of these? I mean, one looks like, I mean, the guy out in Landover just seems like a character. So it kind of is a range, I guess.
It is a range. There's serious, there's lighthearted, and it's a range every year. And so we're excited about that. There are, of course, going to be some socially conscious ones, and we're excited about that. We're excited to have those conversations. And that's what's so great about the question and answer session at the end, is that since all the filmmakers are local, they're able to come, and after we show all five films, they come in and talk to the audience. And so the audience gets to ask questions about, you know, what made you do this, you know, what inspired you, or even, for example, with Avian, maybe, you know, how did you find him? Mm-hmm. Is he able to come? Is he here tonight? So it's really great.
Awesome. And you, sir, if our listeners show up and, you know, they see all these five and your film, what do you want the takeaway to be? After having seen your movie, how will they go out in the world a little more, you know, they'll look around a little differently?
Well, hopefully, you know, sort of eye-opening, you know, consider some stuff you haven't considered before. You know, documentary filmmaking, to a certain extent, is a calling. Like, you know, it's not the same as fiction filmmaking. A lot of times it doesn't turn over the same sort of profit as fiction filmmaking. So documentary filmmaking, you know, is a niche. And then short documentaries, I feel like, is a very specific niche. So I feel like those people who made these short documentaries were very intentional about the message that they wanted to get across. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully what people leave with is the passion and the intentionality that myself, as well as the other filmmakers, had in putting this project together in the first place.
Awesome. I guess we got to hit some of the logistics. How do they find out more information?
Sure.
How do they get tickets?
Sure. So you can go to our website, Bethesda.org, and you can buy tickets there. It also has the film descriptions, lets you know that we're going to be at Imagination Stage, and you can find everything there, Bethesda.org.
How much does it cost for, I guess, per block?
Each screening gets a $10 ticket. We really do want to get as many people in and keep it affordable, so it's $10 for five great films.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for coming in. I really appreciate it, letting us, you know, highlight some of these movies. And I've already seen yours, and it's great. So everyone come out. I'm sure the others are right up on, you know, up to snuff with that one. Thanks so much for coming in. Is there anything else you guys want to add? I mean, why should we come out? In closing,
you should come out and support local artists. I think the audience over the years, they keep coming back because they like seeing local artists in their community talking about their work.
Awesome. Again, everybody, it's the Bethesda Film Fest, short documentary festival, April 6th and 7th. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
No problem.